Well, good morning to one and all. Appreciate you being in Sunday school today. I tell a lot of times to people, I don't understand why people don't get in on the double header by coming for Sunday school and staying for the preaching service and the triple header by coming back that night. But I appreciate you being here and trust you'll pray for us, my wife and I. She's in heaven right now. She's done got a baby over there and done got it to sleep and everything. And I'm telling you, the Lord certainly is good. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning again, and I thank you for the privilege to stand today. I want to thank you, Father, for the events of our lives in recent days, and Lord, how you take broken things and how you put them back together. I thank you for that, Lord. You're so gracious. Now, Lord, I pray you'll use me this morning for Sunday school and the preaching hour. I thank you, Lord, for what you've laid upon my heart, because I realize that it won't help anyone else unless it helps me. So, Father, help me today in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 1 this morning, if you will, please, and be ready to turn in your Bibles to run references today. I'm learning more and more in my study time. I'm of the persuasion that the easiest and the most precise study is just verse-by-verse study of the Bible. In fact, the messages this week is going to come out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I'm excited about that. I appreciate what God has taught me, and I believe it'll teach you also. But when you study a book of the Bible, and as we look at the book of Romans this morning for Sunday school, one of the precious studies is to find repeated words. And 34 times in the book of Romans, you find the word faith. I mean, just think about the background of this. Paul is writing to a underground church where they're being greatly persecuted. And it would be easy to focus on the things that they are facing around them by sight. And how many of us today, if we look at the circumstances that we're living through, are we not capable of becoming discouraged and capable of wanting to give up and quit? And we all face that. We all face that. But winners never quit, and quitters never win. So we've got to exercise faith. And I've probably told this here before. I saw one of my boys one time in front of the mirror at home. And was real close to the mirror. I believe it was Nathan. And he had the mirror real close to his face. And he was doing like this. You know, about 14. Mirror right there. And when I walked back through there, I saw Nathan still just really consumed with his face. And I said, "Son, I'm glad that you're exercising faith." He said, "Daddy, what in the world are you saying?" I said, "What you're looking for is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen." So may the Lord help us to have faith. Amen. I want us to notice, first of all, in chapter number 1 and verse number 5, how Paul speaks to our heart about being obedient to the faith. Verse 1, as we read, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Anything that God calls us to do, it'll take a step of faith. It will take a life of faith. It'll take every day exercising faith. And we have a choice. Faith is just like coming to a crossroad and determining, am I going to sit still? Am I going to go to the left? Am I going to go to the right? Or am I going to be obedient to the faith and go forward? So Paul talks about here obedience to the faith. Chapter 1, verse number 8. He speaks about having an open faith. I realize this is not per se designed as a missions meeting, but verse 8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." Boy, what a statement. That your faith, church at Rome, is spoken of throughout the whole world. The whole world, the world of that day. When people look at the ministries of the Gospelite Baptist Church of Salisbury, North Carolina, can they say that this church has an open faith? An obedient faith. An open faith. Notice also in the chapter there is a one another faith. For chapter 1, verse number 12, "That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Now I think there's something very important about verse number 12 right here that we just read, having that one another faith. I want to stay around people that exercise faith. Because when I see them exercising faith, they are expecting answers. They're believing God. We can either pout, doubt, do without, or pray, believe, and receive. Now, when you're around people, or I'm around people, that's negative all the time, those are people that are living by sight. They're looking at things at face value for what they are. But I desire and want to, and may God help all of us to pray. Now, Lord, help me to stay around people that have faith that will just believe you. I pray this sometimes. Lord, help me to read the books of people that exercised faith in their lives. I'm reading one of Paul Chappell's books right now. I can't put it down. Because it talks about two major subjects, grace and faith. Paul Chappell tells about going to Lancaster and seeing a valley right there. And it was how it was such a desert and everything. And he, in his mind, he starts out by thinking, boy, there could never be anything done for God here. And then later on, God nudges his heart that in that same valley now, there stands one of the greatest churches in America and also one of the greatest Bible colleges. All because we don't look at things by sight. We've got to look at things by faith. And that's the people I want to stay around. People of mutual faith, one another faith. And then in chapter 1 and verse number 17, there's an operating faith. Chapter 1, verse number 17. We know the verse 16 so well, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Watch this now. "And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written." Simple statement. Don't even really need a Strong's Concordance to define the words. "The just shall live by faith." There's only one word in that phrase right there that has five letters to it. So the definitions of it all is very simple. It's, you know, it's just down here where any of us can understand that we are to live in operating faith. The just shall live by faith. You know, maybe in our days together, maybe we would just unload it all before God. Just unload. Just get on the altar and say, "Lord, I've pouted about this long enough. Lord, I've tried to fix it myself long enough. I've lived long enough with all the temporary elements of the flesh. This week I'm going to lay it down for good." Chapter number 2, as we flip over there, there's a phrase here that doesn't actually use the word faith, but by definition, it is the same. Chapter number 2 and verse number 7. To them who by patient continuance, by definition, that's faith. Patient continuance. I read the other day a fellow said, the only people that need to have more patience than a doctor is Christians. Did you get that? Yeah. God help us to have patience. Patient continuance. A continual waiting. Believing God, trusting God. Berita and I just got back yesterday from visiting Nathan and his family. Of course, many of you knew the circumstances theirs years ago. You just can't give up. You just can't give in, but you cannot give up. And then to be in his home and to see how God's working and has worked, blessing him with a precious family. And got up before daylight this morning, and got on a bus and went down to the Pacific Guard Mission to pick up homeless people to be in church today. Preacher, if you'd get up here and teach a while, I'd go run. Amen. Patient continuance. Let's look in chapter 3 now. We're moving through these definitions in the book of Romans. Chapter number 3, let's just begin reading in verse number 1. We'll understand greater what's being said. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. But what's this now? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You see, Paul is saying here, unbelief does not override the power of faith. Now we can unbelieve all we want to, but that shows our weakness. We're weak because of unbelief. But we're only made strong when we exercise faith. Chapter 3 and verse number 22 is going to teach us that faith produces righteousness. Chapter 3, verse 22. The Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Faith produces righteousness. How do we overcome strongholds? How do we overcome our weaknesses? And we all have them, whether we want to admit it or not. We can either be honest with ourselves, be honest with God, and say, Lord, I've got some strongholds. I've got some weaknesses. But the only way that we can overcome those is to not try to overcome them by the elements of ourselves and the flesh. The greatest day of our life is when we look at our lives and say, Lord, my life is too big for me, but it's not too big for you. And that's exercising that faith, because the verse teaches us that faith produces righteousness. Chapter 3 and verse number 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Several weeks ago, we were in Israel, and I praise God for the whole trip. But it was a precious day, the day we were able to go to Mount Calvary and see the hill of the skull. I mean, you can see it. And then we were able to leave that area and then come down to the garden tomb. And to go inside the garden tomb where no one's there. But see, if you never even go there, We know there's no one there. By sight, no. By faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's all by faith. Faith in the shed blood of Christ, in that he paid the price for our sins. Now, how are we justified and saved? By works? No. Chapter 3, verse 27 says this. What is boasting then? It is excluded by what law or works? Nay, here it is. By the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified. Underscore that word justified if you make notes in your Bible and write to the side of it, declared righteous. Justified. Just if I had never sinned. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So many are trying to work their way to heaven. In fact, I was raised in that fashion in the liberal church, you might say. Now, and the pastor used to get up and say, now, live a good life this week. Do the best you can. Do the ordinances of the church. Be good to people. And surely God will let you go to heaven. I'm still praising God for that youth camp, for that dear old man of God got up on that first service and preached on hell. And told us and told my heart that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. Showed me I was a sinner and how I needed to be saved by God's amazing grace. Now let's move to chapter 4, verse number 5. It's faith that produces righteousness, we're reminded again. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Chapter 4 and verse number 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision only? Shall we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness? We won't take time to read the verses down the line here for time's sake. Our time's getting away. But if you move on down to verse number 13, verse 12 with it, but I'll just read verse 13. We see that faith is for Jew and Gentile alike. For the promise, verse 13. Well, let's read verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Faith produces grace. In verse number 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be grace, that it be by grace. I'm moving because our time's going to be gone just before we know it here. Faith also produces miracles in our lives. I like verse number 19 and reading on. It now begins to speak about Abraham and Sarah. And boy, wasn't that a miracle. Him being 100 and her being about 90. Oh, yeah. And being not weak in faith. God, help us to be strong in faith. May the Lord help our faith to grow this week. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm not poking fun at anybody. I'm not. But, you know, if I was to go to the nursing facility today visiting with the pastor and a 100-year-old man come up to me and said, I'm going to be a daddy, I wouldn't argue with him. It's not worth the time. But that's what we have here. Do we not? But notice the wording. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, maybe we would not be confronted with the same circumstance as Abraham and Sarah. But for anything that the Lord brings our way that requires a step of faith, may the Lord help us to not stagger. To stand true and to stand tall. And not allow the devil to trip us up. Isn't that what stagger means? Is to mean tripped up? Lord, we're just going to fully trust you by faith. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. One writer said, Oliver Green said, this is the total exercise of our faith. Fully persuaded. He was able also to perform. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So if we desire in our life to live a holy life, a righteous life, a life that He desires for us, then in all of that there must be the exercising of faith in God. Along the way, when we are confronted with things and we compromise and give in to the attitudes and the elements of the world, we do that because of one reason. Because of the lust of the flesh and a lack of faith. That's what Paul is trying to teach us. Now, in our King James Bible, of course, there's the chapter division here between chapter 4 and chapter 5. But the thought actually continues on. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, justified just as if I had never sinned. Wow, isn't that a blessing in God's sight? Therefore, as a result of the prior teaching in Romans, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice there's another word here that just is so synonymous with the word faith in verse number 2 as I read it again. By whom also we have access by faith. Somebody mentioned to me this morning that about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And of course, the Muslims have the Dome of the Rock built up there now. The Jews have no desire to go up there. But they go to that Wailing Wall to pray because that's the nearest place. Well, I'm glad as born-again believers, we have Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can either pray, believe, receive, pout, doubt, do without. Might have already mentioned that, but maybe it's worth saying again. Oh my. Faith produces peace in chapter 5, verse 2. Peace is not the absence of the storm. Peace is the presence of God. It produces grace, unmerited favor. It produces strength and open joy in the Lord. Faith makes the impossible possible. Wow. Turn over to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Now, we want to be like the Gentiles. We are Gentiles. But in chapter number 9, in verse number 30, the Gentiles receive faith and the Jews rejected faith. Let's read three verses here to see what's being understood in our text. What shall we say then, chapter 9, verse 30? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. That verse helps me. Because in the times that I have not exercised faith, I can come before the Lord and confess my unbelief. Maybe that's what the Lord will do in our hearts today. Lord, I've not believed you. Lord, I've not trusted you. Lord, I've walked by sight. But Lord, I want to come before you in an old-fashioned altar today. And Lord, I want to confess my sin before you, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Lord, I want you to forgive me. Lord, help me now to just lay it all before you and just trust you with it all. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to do what Breed and I had to do years ago with Nathan. Lord, we're just going to take our hands off of it. Lord, I can't fix it. That's a good place to get yourself. But Lord, I'm just going to yield it all to you. I'm going to exercise faith in you that, Lord, you're going to take care of it all. Would it be all right if I take a lap out right now? We have a God that is so faithful. And my, what He can do when we just exercise faith in Him. Again, in chapter 9 and verse 30, the Gentiles received faith. But verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the Gentiles received, the Jews rejected, the Gentiles prospered, and the Jews perished. Now, probably one of the chapters that we know so much about in the book of Romans is chapter number 8. We know the verses that include the plan of salvation in it. But how about other verses that have the word faith in it? There's two, chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. There's a synonymous word for faith right there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Chapter 10, verse 17. When I look at this verse right here, could I say this? Please don't miss a service this week. Not because of me, but because of the word by His amazing grace that will be preached. Don't ever miss a service when your pastor stands here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when the Sunday school teacher stands. Because I, as they say down in Louisiana, I guarantee you, there's not anybody in the building today that's got too much faith. If you do, let me have your leftover. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Quickly, chapter number 12. The Bible here speaks about portions of faith. Chapter 12 and verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Best way I know to illustrate it again is in regards to our sons, Mo, Dick, and Larry, Clayton, Nathan, and Seth. They all got strong points. They all got weak points. They all have strong points physically and mentally and emotionally. And they're all three on a different spiritual level. Am I to condemn one for not having the measure of faith of the other? No, we all have a measure of faith in regards to our own individual growth. But ladies and gentlemen, every one of us today in our hearts ought to be around an altar today in our heart praying, oh God, increase my faith. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in very uncertain times in our country. I mean that with all my heart, and I'm not saying that any of it has caught God by surprise, because it has not. I'm wondering if we're just really not at the brink of the rapture, and wonder if the Antichrist is already in existence but not been revealed yet. The way things are. So do we pout and doubt and wring our hands? No, we just exercise faith. People told the Maynards we'd starve to death in evangelism. Man, I'm having to stay on a diet now all the time. Portions of faith. Chapter 12, verse number 6. Now, if we have faith and we exercise that portion of faith, then let's expose that portion of faith that the Lord gives us, beginning in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, that means the gift of teaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait. And that word wait means as a servant. It doesn't mean to sit back singing, glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. That's not what it's saying. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. And for time on down the line. But let us exercise that measure of faith. Let's not judge others by their lack of faith. Let's pray for each other as we're growing in faith. I see Brita holding that little baby this morning. We got 5 grandbabies, 2 more on the way. Glory. It would not be fair for me to judge any of the grandchildren that they be the same. You can't do that by age. Jackson's 2, Clara Grace's 8. You know, the Mullins is, you know, Clayton and Rebecca's little girl. You can't judge them. You can't do that. But may we all to the fullest exercise the proportion of faith that God has given all of us. Hey, I want to recommend this. Read books about great people of faith. If you can find any older books about Lester Roloff, read about Lester Roloff. The many times that he would literally pray in food for the orphanages, just like George Mueller did. George Mueller refused to ever ask for anything. And thousands of orphans were fed. That's one of the things that I'm enjoying about Paul Chappell's book that I'm reading right now, how the miracles of their church there in Lancaster and the Bible college and everything, how all of it has been an exercising of faith. I still, after 2.5 years, when I see the car out there in the parking lot, how God provided that new car for the Maynards, I just can't explain all of that. It's just God being faithful. And then the other week, and you can look at me and say, Brother Maynard's telling a lie. I am not. The original set of tires on that car got over 90,000 miles on them. And several weeks ago, we were in a church up in the country, and the pastor was out walking around the car, and he said, 90,000? Well, it's over 100,000 now. And he said, I'm telling you, brother, them tires are starting to look a little bit like Yul Brynner. That's what he said. I said, yeah, we're going to take care of that. He said, no, you're not either. I'm going to. And the church went the next day and put a brand new set of tires on the car. Our God is so faithful. He meets every need. Our time is just about gone. Look at chapter number 14 and verse number 1. Now, do we get haughty or high-minded because we've exercised faith? No. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, let's not criticize people that are not growing in faith or at a different level of faith. Oh boy, time's gone. Look at verse number 22 in chapter 14. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that doing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever faith is sin. Chapter number 16, verse 26. Obedient faith. It's amazing. Chapter 1, verse 5 begins with an obedient faith. Chapter 16, verse 26 leaves us with an obedient faith. Chapter 16, verse number 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, hath made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Let's have a godly faith, a growing faith, a giving faith, a glowing faith, and a generational faith. Father, thank you for your word this morning during Sunday school. Lord, please breathe on every service. Lord, we need you. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening so well. I quit 2 minutes early.